Daf Lam and Chesed. Let's start from the bottom of Lam and Zayin and Beis. So the Gemara is in the middle of the question, line of questioning here. Wanted to know the reason for different psukim. How, we have so many different sources for coming with the Rabbi B'nai. Then we hold a discussion about, let's take it from one to two lines from the bottom. It says, Lo Mimela, Milo Sikhu Kofar Shmasmina, Lo Sishko Mimona Mine Vetiftere. So we learn from that pasuk that the person can't simply buy his life back. If he's supposed to be killed, he can't just give money, pay kofar, instead to exempt him from death. So Gemara says, Kol Chayim Lamli, the very last line. So what do you learn from the pasuk Kol Chayim? That was the source we learned from Kol Chayim. So Amar Rami Bar Chama Itzrich, you need both psukim to teach me this concept. Why? I would have thought, Hani Mili Heicha Dehargu Derech Aliyah, Shlo Nisna Shigagas LaKapar. I would have thought maybe this is only true that when could a person not buy his life back, that if he kills somebody, he's not allowed to pay kofar? It's only a situation where he kills him in an upward thrust, the derech aliyah. So because when that's done by shogeg, such an individual doesn't get gullus. That tells you the severity of the avera. So when it's done by mezid derech aliyah, so too a person shouldn't be able to pay kofar to exempt him from death. Aval, but you would have thought had you not had a second pasuk. Aval hargu derech yirida, if you killed him in a downward thrust, denisna shkagas lekapara, whereby if that was done by shogeg, such an individual would get gullus, so it's not as severe, excuse me, Ema, maybe one would suggest that when it's done b'mezid, he kills on derech yirida b'mezid, nishkal mamona minei v'niftra. He should be able to pay kofar and exempt himself from the death penalty and be completely off the hook. Kamash Lam, we learn from the second pasuk that no, even in this case, a person cannot pay kofar.
So b'derech aliyah, it's not considered as it's not a galut?
Yeah, if derech, it's worse. Sometimes people don't get gullus because he didn't do anything that bad. Sometimes he doesn't get gullus because he did something so bad he doesn't deserve kapara. Right, even shkagasa could be karav lemezid. A derech aliyah, the Gemara's Makos talk about, is karav lemezid. So it comes out as derech aliyah is more severe, and therefore he doesn't deserve kapara, he doesn't deserve gullus, which is tough on him.
Gravity.
I don't remember the whole how the svar works, but I guess he's doing it, I guess, against the force, right? Right, it's all him, 100% from his. Right, maybe that's the idea. It's based on psukim though, but maybe the svar could be about the force of gravity. I don't know. You're the scientist. Amarle Rava. Rava says, "Ha midatana bechizkia nafka." All this is learned out from Tana bechizkia. We just said before the need for two psukim is so that you shouldn't be mechalik between mezid and shogeg for derech aliyah and derech yirida. But we already know such a concept. The Tana de Bechizkiah, Maka Adam Maka Behemu. We have the pasuk that compares the hitting of an animal to hitting of a person. Ma Maka Behemu Lo Chelkas Bo Bein Shogi Le Mezid Bein Miskaven Le Shem Miskaven Bein Derech Yirida Le Derech Aliyah Le Pochum Imanu El Chayv Mamon. Just like when it refers to Maka Behemu, there's no distinctions regardless of how it was done. Shogi Mezid, every single possibility, you're always going to be Chayv Mamon. So Af Maka Adam in the same vein, but differently though, but the same parallel, there's no distinction. Af Maka Adam lo sachlog lo tachlog bo bein shogig le mezid bein miskavin le shem miskavin bein derech yirida le derech li le chayv mamon el le poch mamon. So too, when a person kills another individual, there's no distinction whether it's done b'shogig or mezid, or whether it's yirida or derech aliyah, they're all going to be the same across the board. So you don't have any distinctions. There would never be such a havmina to distinguish between derech aliyah and derech yirida, as we learn from Tana b'chizkia. It's across the board. Every situation, a person is going to be pater. There's no reason, there's no way to distinguish.
This is Bema, this is Adam.
Right, but that's, we learned this a few, in the past, that there's a comparison. The pasuk connects Maka Adam to Maka Bema. Yes, the result of Maka Bema means Mamon, and Maka Adam means Patmi Mamon, but the equation is, why are we connecting the two? The equation is, the chi of Mamon for Mamon is always, and the Ptur Mamon for Adam is always. That's the hekesh between the two. Okay. So, again, so we learn from here that Tana b'chizkia, there's no reason, there's no way to distinguish between derech yirida, derech aliyah. So back to square one, why do you need two psukim to tell us that a person may not pay kofar to exempt himself from misa? So the Gemara says, Ela amar Rami bar Chama, he suggests something else. Itzrich, sakadet hamina, you need it, because I would have thought, hani mile hecha disima es eino v'hargubo, the person hit the other guy in the eye and also killed him, so then a person's not allowed to pay to get himself off the hook. But if a person on one hand blinded him and then killed him in a different way, not through his eye but some other way killed him, Ema Nishkal Mamona Mime, maybe if he pays up he would be exempt from being killed. That's the suggestion. So let's look at Rashi for the explanation here. Rashi says, Ela Amar Rami Bar Chama, this is eight narrow lines down or so. Itzrich chad mehani kroy. One pasuk, again, we're looking for, why do you need two pasukim to teach me that a guy cannot pay off to exempt himself from Misa? Itzrich chad mehani, you need one of these mehani kroy from one of these two pasukim, lashmin and delo lavid bay tarti. Teach me you don't do two things to him. You don't kill me, you don't make him pay. Vafagavdin afkalan me velo yehe asan, even though we have another pasuk for this. Hani mili delo anchinan le betarti hecha the simus eno vahargu baba osamaka omes. It's only a situation where in one blow you blinded him and you also killed him. But if it's b'davar achas, says Rashi, b'makeh acheres u'b'bas achas, you punch him twice, one in the eye and one in the, heart and kill him. So, but the two acts in the same moment, so then eima nanshe d'me ayin, he should pay the ayin, u'misva b'shvil hariga, maybe then he should have to, this is not talking about, I guess, exempting yourself, but this is what we're talking about. Maybe he should have to pay twice. He should have to pay mamon for the eye, and he should get killed for killing the guy. That's what the havmin is. K'mashlan lo sishka kofer. He does not have to pay both payments. So the Gemara kind of twists, I think, shifts gears a little bit. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amalei Rava hamnami midachtan de bichizke. This is learned out. That's concept of not paying, come with the rabbi, that you only pay one. You only get one reason, not the other one. That's learned out from a different Tana de Bechizkiah, which it says, the Tana de Bechizkiah, ayin tachas ayin, says the Pasuk. You pay an eye for an eye, velo ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. So ayin here means, we understand that to me, the Gemara is in Baba Kama Talis, it means money, you pay money. If a person causes another individual to become blind, you pay him the value of that loss of sight. So ayin tachas ayin, velo ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. You don't pay double for it. So we already know from elsewhere, when you blind someone and you kill someone, you don't pay double. So that can't be learned out from the double psukim above. So Ella, finally the Gemara says, I'll tell you why you need both psukim. El Amar of Ashi, Istrich, Sakadai Tachamina, I would have thought, Hol v'chidishu, shechidshu tar b'knas. Since the whole concept of paying a knas is a chidish. Mikra din, there's no idea, the knas is not something that is deserving of the person. The person, does, let's say he, what's a good example? He steals someone's object, so he has to pay double. So, from a regular court system, from a monetary perspective, there's no reason to pay double. The double is something that the Torah created. It's a chiddush Torah. If I stole the guy's money, I need to pay back what I stole. To pay twice, that's a knas, that's a chiddush. So since it's a chiddush, so then Gemara thinks, avagav de miktil, mishalim, one would think, even though the guy gets killed, he should also maybe have to pay a knas on top of that, because knas is not about, it's a chiddush, as it is. The whole world is a chiddush, so maybe top of that, it shouldn't fall under the rules of Kimelev the Rabbi Bnei, and therefore it's a habit to think one would pay Kanas. Kamash Malam, we learn from the second pasuk, even a Kanas is exempt from Kamelev with the Rabbi Bnei. Just look at Rashi for a moment. Rashi explains this habit Bnei, Sakadai Tachamina, Chidishu, Shechid Shetara, Bechol Tashlame Kanas, She'eno Din El Gzeris Melech Bama. So this is a very interesting line from Rashi. I didn't look into this at all. But all Tashlame Kanas, She'eno din elegzeres melech bama. Sounds like from Rashi there are two types of knasos. There's a penalty which is pretty typical that is not deserving, that's a chiddush haTorah, that one shouldn't have to pay. And there's other types of knas that is really deserving of payment. So the knas that we're referring to, Rashi says, is behold tashmir knas she'eno din. We're not talking about the knas that's not a din, we're only talking about the knasos that's a gzeres melech bama, that's a chiddush haTorah. So I don't know which types are. You know, Gzeres Melech Malchem Lachem. Gzeres Melech means the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah.
Knas she'ino din. Is it the knas for Melech Malchem Lachem is din?
May I'm misreading. May the way you read it is B'chol Tashmi Knas she'ino din, because knas in general is not considered din, rather it's considered Gzeres Melech. That's probably how to read it, right? Yeah. Okay. So Gzeres Melech means, it's a way of referring to, it's a chok of the Torah. The Gzeres Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is. V'cheven, Rashi continues to say, V'cheven, t'chiddushu, since it's a chiddush, v'gzeres chok, eima avagav dika behadei misa l'shalim. One would think that even though there's misa, you should also have to pay the penalty since it's a chok, and it doesn't fall under the normal rules of onshin. That's the Havamina. Kamashmalan, that no, you are even putter from paying Knas as well. The Gemara says, however, according to the Rabba, that Machidishu Shechitcha Torah B'Knas, Afagav the Mikdel Mishalim, so he actually says, no, since it's a Knas, you actually would have to pay. Knas is not subject to the Ptur of Kamle B'di Rabbi Mine. So, Hai Kolchem my Overlay, so what does he do with this last second Pasuk? Does he say with the Remeir? I don't remember. Okay. So the Gemara says, so how does he understand, what does he do with this extra pasuk of Kol Chayim Mai Abedle? Savrala Kitana Kama de Rebbe Chananya Ben Akavya. He was like the Tana Kama of Rebbe Chananya Ben Akavya, who says what? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kitana Kama V'darish Lei Be'omer Archo Shayote Leharig Olai. Remember that situation, the first drush we had from the words Kol Chayim was if an individual is being taken out to be killed, Yotzei Leharig, and someone says, oh, you see that guy Reuven, he's taken out in his chains to get killed, his Erechin is on me. I need to give Erechin to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Erechin is a whole set of rules of a person of a certain age, a man versus a woman has a set value. I shouldn't say value. There's a set payment for a man versus a woman, certain age brackets. So he said, we learn from Kol Chayim that such an individual who's going out to be killed has no Erechin, because even though he's alive right now, he's considered dead. So that's why he learned the word Kol Chayim. Our whole discussion was, no, if we paskin that, or according to those who paskin that you can take Erechin on a person who's going out to be killed, he does have, since he's alive, he does have an Erechin to him. So then we said, so what do you learn from the Kol Chayim? That was the whole discussion up until now. Just as an aside, since we have so much time, in terms of Knossos being a penalty, there's a big discussion in Rabbi Kiva Eger and Tosos and Makos and others that Knas, normally when it comes to Tashlumim, there's a big distinction between Tashlumim and Knas. One is, if someone were to damage property, that actual Hezek creates a Chiv Tashlum. I need to pay from the moment that I caused damage. The moment I stole something, I need to pay from that actual Maisa. When it comes to penalties, since penalties is considered a Chidish Shechid Shetorah, if I kill an Eved, if you kill an Eved, I know it sounds somewhat strange, but the lach is when you kill an Eved, or a shor kills an Eved, you pay 30 shekel, it's a knas. Or if I onus mefate to the owner of the Eved.
Oh, not your own Eved.
Right. So that when I that when my shor kills the Eved, or if I steal an object, the payment of kefa, the double, the second payment, is not created, does not exist from my action. It's only once Bezdin sits down and said, okay, you're Chayv Kefal, Bezdin creates the Knas. This is Rabbi Kiva Eger it's how you answer Rabbi Kiva Eger in Tosfos and Makos. So it's created by Bezdin because it's a Chiddush. They create this Chiddush. It's not based on my actions because it's not supposed to be a natural payment. It's not natural. It's completely a Chiddush. That's the one point about Knas. Another thing about the Knas as being a Chiddush, a Chiddush Torah, there's a very interesting Rashi that tells you, how you know when it's a Knas? When it's either above the value of payment, meaning kefal is above what you normally would pay, or there's a set price you always pay. Those are two types of knasos. So shloshim eved, when a shor kills an eved, regardless of how his value, regardless of how strong or capable he is, there's always 30. Onus mefate, regardless of who she was, you always pay 50 shkalim. So whenever there's a set price, not based on value, that tells you it's knas, or if you're paying more than you have to. There's one situation where you actually pay less than you have to, which might be a knas also. Good trivia question. I think it's only one case. You pay less than you have to, and it's a knas according to some. Chatzi nezek.
Ah, I was about to say.
Yeah. Chatzi nezek, when it comes to shor shenagach, you pay chatzi nezek for the first three offenses. You pay only half the damage. So the question is whether that's a knas or whether that's mamona. And machlok is a popular, I forget who else argues on. Remember the Gemara Baba Kama? So you're really supposed to, if my shore gores someone else's shore, you're supposed to pay full payment. So why do I pay half? The pasuk is because you pay half. The psalm says because the Torah is chas. They're chas on me. Exactly. So they're chas to pay only half. Others say, no, really, I have to pay nothing. My shore, the fact that my shore gored, oxen don't gore ever. And that, according to that one assumption, so why do I have to pay? It's a knas. The Torah gave me a knas for not watching over him.
What is gore?
A gore is to nagach, shor she nagach. Gore is the English word for nagach. So my shor, I was nagach. I didn't do good shmir, but I really don't have to pay any money because shores don't really do that. So therefore, it's a knas. But that's where you pay less than what you're supposed to, as opposed to more. Okay. Says the Mishnah, now halfway down, the Mishnah says, Nara shenis arsa, a Nara who gets engaged, Again, Nara is the age of 11 and a half till 12. She gets engaged, v'niskarsha, then she gets divorced. So what's the halacha? If she goes ahead and she's onus mefata, so onus mefata, normally there's a kenas that gets paid. What if she gets, and one of the criteria are that she has to be Nara basula, says the pasuk. So she's engaged, but gets divorced. So we assume she's a basula. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer ain la knas, she has no knas, and we'll see why that is. The Gemara will explain. And Rabbi Kiva Omer yesh la knas, the knas la atma, she does get knas, and also she actually gets to keep the knas. And normally the knas goes to her father, but Rabbi Kiva thinks if she gets engaged and divorced, she keeps the knas for herself. So explains the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Yossi Haglili. What's the reason Rabbi Yossi Haglili says she gets no knas when she's engaged and then gets divorced and then onis mefata? Amarkra, the pasuk says, Asher lo arasa. The pasuk says, the whole pasuk is, I'll read it on the side here. This is, V'chi yimatze ish nara besula, Asher lo arasa, v'tafsa v'shachav ima v'nimsa v'chule. And the pasuk can go on to say. So talking about nara besula, that was not engaged. Because if she was nara murasa, if she was engaged, then the individual is chayv skila. And if she was done willingly, this is talking about mefata, where it was done willingly, they're both chayv skila. So it's where she was not engaged. Ha'arasa, but if she was engaged, ain la knas. So even though the pasuk pshat of the Gemara, the pasuk sound like her current status is she not engaged. Rabbi Yossi means she was never engaged. It has to be where she was never ever engaged. But once she was once engaged, even though right now she's not engaged, she's not included in the parsha of ones and mefata. That's why Rabbi Yossi Glee says there is no knas of someone who gets engaged and then divorced. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says asher lo arasa la via, that you have to read the whole pasuk. That's not the whole pasuk. This is a different pasuk. He says, "Asher lo rasa." When she's not a rasa, when she's not engaged, when she's not engaged, or she was never engaged, her father gets to knas. That's a dik. A rasa, but if she was once engaged, last one, she gets to keep it for herself. Not to say she's not included in the parsha of onus mefata. It means that her father's not included in the onus mefata parsha, but she still is included and she keeps it for herself. That's Rabbi Kiva's drasha. El Miata, that's the case. That's the drasha that we're making. We're making this diak that she does, her father doesn't get it, but in the inverse, she will keep it for herself. So El Miata, if that's the case, the pasuk says Naara, Naara, it has to be Naara to be included in the parsha of Ones Mefata. Velo Bogaris, we say not a Bogaris. So the drasha should be said, Hachnami de la Atma. We should make the following drasha. Normally, we say, she has to be a Naara, but if she's a Bogaris above the age of 12, she's not included in the parsha at all. The drasha, according to Rabbi Kiva, should be, if she's a Bulgaris, she should be included in the parsha, just her father's excluded, but she should get to keep the money. But everyone agrees that's not true. Bulgaris is not included. So Rabbi Kiva's drasha is not correct. And furthermore, when the pasuk says basula, has to be a nara basula, velo baula, bula shouldn't mean that she's excluded from the parsha entirely. It should mean her father's excluded, but hachanami delatma, she should be able to keep the knas for herself. That would be the consistent drushas to be consistent for Rabbi Kiva. Those should be the drushas that should be made for those cases as well. So just to review, the pasuk says orasa, sorry, lo orasa, it says basula, and it says nara. Those three are the criteria needed to be in this parsha of nara marasa, sorry, of onus mefata. The opposites are, according to what we understand, opposites, pashases, are not included at all. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the opposites are the father's not included, but she's included to keep it on her own.
Always included.
Exactly. But that would only make sense for the drush of La Rasa. But by Basula and by Enara, everyone would agree that once she's no longer Basula, and once she's a Bogaris, she's not included in the parish at all, even for herself. So Gemara says, Ella, Legamre, Hachanami, Legamre. So just like by Basula and by Nara, when she's out of those parshas, she's completely removed. So to Lo Rasa, if she was once engaged, she should be completely removed. Then she shouldn't be able to collect the knas. So Rabbi Kiva responds and says, Amr Lecha Rabbi Kiva, hi, Lo Rasa, mi barle, lichletane. He used the word Lo Rasa for a different drasha. Asher Lo Rasa, prat linara, shenis arsa v'nisgarsha, shen la knas de Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So as we said above, this brisa repeats what we learned, that Rabbi Yossi Haglili's source is, it says Asher lo arasa, that she was never engaged, and since this individual was once engaged, she's excluded from the parsha. Comes on Rabbi Kiva, Omer, yesh la knas, v'knas alavia. There is knas in this case, and her father gets to keep it. V'adinosein ho v'afine. So he's going to explain why that is. So this Rabbi Kiva sounds different than the Rabbi Kiva of our Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to later on ask, this is a stira. Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah says, she gets to keep the knas. Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa says that he gets to keep the Knas. The Gemara will address that later on. But what's the basis for Rabbi Akiva? Why does he think there should be a Knas in this situation? He says, the word at Lo Rasa is used for another drasha, whatever that is. But he says she gets a Knas still, even though she was engaged in divorce, because Hadinosin, it's pretty logical. Ho Vavia Zakai Bekesev Kidusheha. Just like a father Zocha in the Kesef Kedushin, that he's allowed to marry her off, and he gets to keep the Kesef. He keeps the money that she's being acquired or engaged with. Vavi Azaka b'Kesef Kenasa b'Kesef Kenasa. Sorry, again, Vedinosin. Ho Vavi Azaka b'Kesef b'Kedusha. Vavi Azaka b'Kesef Kenasa. So he should also be able to be Zocha in the Kenas, the penalties also that are coming her way. So then the Gemara says, once you have that equation, that he gets these zechuyos, ma kesef kudusha, afa pishin is arsa, niskar shalavia, it's just like kesef kudusha, if she's engaged once and then divorced, while still being a nara, or katana rather, she goes back to his rishus, and he has control of her still. Af kesef kunasa, so to the money from penalties, afa pishin is arsa, niskar shalavia.
Sounds like when she was a Nara.
Oh, when she's a Nara, right? Let's say Rashi says, Ma Kesef Kedusha, Afa Pisha, Nis Arisav, Nis Garisha, Me'acha She Kishachoseres, Umiskadeshes Besoch Naris. After she returned and got engaged during her Naris. She gets all the rights as long as she's a Nara, even though she was once engaged before and divorced. He has full control. But if she gets married and then divorced, even though she's a Nara, then the father does not have control, I believe. Okay, so that's the equation. So the Gemara says, okay, Imkain, if that's the case, according to Rabbi Kiva, that he still collects the penalties, Imkain, Ma Tamalam Asher Lo Rasa. So what do you do with the drash of Asher Lo Arasa? So Gemara says, according to Rabbi Kiva himself, perhaps answers, Mufna. You're right, it's Eksha. The words Asher Lo Arasa are Eksha. It's Eksha Lahakish Lo V'Lodun Heimanu. Gzer Shava. It's Eksha to make a Hekesh and learn a Gzer Shava from it. What are we learning? Nemar Kan Asher Lo Arasa. It says in this context, Lo Arasa, V'Nemar Lahalan Asher Lo Arasa. It also says, by the case of Ones, the words Asher Lo Arasa. So that's the Gzer Shava. Ma kan chamishim af lahalan chamishim. Just like here it says 50, in the context of Mefate it says 50, so too by Ones and Mefate. Uma lahalan, just like later on by Ones it says shkalim. Which currency are we using? We're using shkalim. Af kan shkalim also here. So we saw this already in the past, early in the parak, that Ones and Mefate, I forget which one exactly, but I think Mefate says 50, but we don't 50 what? $50? It's just 50. And by Ones it says shkalim, the currency, but doesn't tell us the numbers. How much? So we equate the two to the Gzer Shava to fill in the gap. That's 50 shkalim, both by Ones and Mefata. And that's learned out from the extra words, Asher Lo Arasa, that becomes an available term to be used to apply the Gzer Shava here. Okay, so an interesting thing in the back, just as an aside here, about when the father marries off the daughter we just spoke about. So there are two reasons brought down when the question is, when a father marries off a daughter, does he have to fast? Yom Chupas, it's brought down in the poskim, you're supposed to fast. So there are two basic reasons why a person fasts. Anybody know the reasons why? There are others, but two basic ones brought down in the poskim.
Kapara and Ritzui.
Okay, right, so Aslich of a Kapara, and then that's one reason. And the other reason is, because we don't want her to be drunk, she needs Das when performing Kedushin. So we say, don't eat anything. Don't eat anything just to avoid being drunk. So one afkamina is that, does she have to complete the fast day after becoming married? If it's a day of Slicha v'kapara, a full Yom Kippur, so she would have to complete the fast until Tseis HaKochavim. But if it's simply she doesn't get drunk, so as long as Maisa Kedushin is complete, the chuppah's done, so she's allowed to, even though it's still daytime afterwards, she's allowed to eat and drink after that point. So the question becomes, yeah.
Chuppah.
What?
Daytime you can do chuppah after?
Yeah, you can do daytime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, plenty. I've been to one actually in the morning. I've been to one at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Only one in my life, but it does happen. No. What happens sometimes if it becomes close to Shkia, so then you have to write in the Ksuba which day you're getting married. So then it becomes iffy. Is Shkia the Ben Shmash, is it the day of or the day after? So then you have to wait till Tseis to get out of any Sveikas. Yeah. But certainly many, especially in the summer, the Chuppah is always done before. It's too late to wait till Tseis. There's no din of waiting. So when it comes to the father, does the father have to fast when he marries his daughter off? If he's in control of Kedushin. So they say, if it's about Slicha Mechila, he doesn't have to because it's her Slicha Mechila. Even though he's making the decision, it's her Slicha Mechila. But if it's about becoming drunk and being aware, he's the one who's performing the Maisa Kedushin for her, so he has to still have the full das, in which case he would have to fast when marrying off his daughter.
Another reason why you fast is because of Inksubablu Tigra. Tigra means sort of like adversity, like some type of disruption. So you want that to be your Tigra. That it should be like, it's not, doesn't mean fighting, it means like adversity. Like you should fit by fasting, it becomes like your area.
Interesting. Never heard that.
Say
you're the source for it.
I didn't hear. He took wine this morning.
It says that by every marriage there's some fighting between the families.
Yeah.
So, inexorably Tigra.
Tigra, it's a fight, yeah.
So I forgot where I heard that but when you fast, you're making that into being the adversity, like the.
That's negative, your fight, the yote your fight.
Yeah. That's how you're being, exactly. That's how you're being yote, the language of the Gemara.
And it should no longer have that klala with you. Okay. The Gemara in the bottom of Lamed Chesam and Aleph says now, we're two lines up. Rabbi Kiva, my chazis to ashelo rasal gzer shava, ubesulo lemute bula. So again, we have three terms, or three definitions that qualify the Nara we're talking about. One is Lo Arasa, she was never engaged. There's the word Basula, and then there's the word Nara. He wants to know why we're using the word Asher Lo Arasa as Zer Shava. You could have also used the word Basula, because it says Basula by Onus, it says Basula by Mefata. You could have used that. Why are you choosing Lo Asher Lo Arasa to make the Zer Shava, and then the word Basula is coming to exclude a Beula? Ema, maybe one should suggest the opposite, going on to Amr Beis now. Maybe Ema Basula L'Gzer Shava. Use the word Basula because it says Basula by Ones, it says Basula by Mefata. Use it as L'Gzer Shava to teach me Chamishim Shkalim. And Asher Lo Arasa, that word, that term, should be used Prat L'Nara Shinisaris Minskaja. And then have that term be in accordance with Rabbi Yosef Glick to say it excludes an individual, a woman who is engaged and then divorced. So the Gemara says, Mistavra Asher Lo Arasa L'Gzer Shava. It's more logical to say that the term Asher Lo Arasa is being used for the Gzer Shava. Why? Share ani kore ba nara basula. Because I call it nara basula. That's what she's called. That's the term. Rashi says three lines from the top. Share ani kore ba nara basula. Afa pishin is arsim is gacha. Even though she's engaged and then divorced, daha nara basula. He kedichs of crush. She still is a nara basula. Aba buula shain ani kore ba nara basula ain lakanas. Because the term, the nara basula is the real definition. Ashelo aras is like an extra, an added definition. But she's really a Nara Basula. And after she's engaged in divorce, she's still called a Nara Basula. But once she's a Ba'ula, she's no longer called a Nara Basula. Nara Basula is, I think what the Gemara is trying to say, and Rashi trying to flesh it out, is the real din is a Nara Basula. This halacha applies to Nara Basula. And she still is that Nara Basula even after being engaged. The Gemara says, wait a second. Adraba. I'll say that opposite. That's not a clear ayah. Basula L'Gzer Shava. Use the Basula L'Gzer Shava. Shariani Kare Ba Asher La Rasa. And I'll call her not engaged. That even though she got engaged and divorced, currently right now she's Asher Lo Arasa. Right now she's not engaged. I think that's what Gemara is trying to say now. So I'm sorry. That say it's a basula, and even if she were to be baula, rather, she should still be included in the parsha because even though she's a baula, she's right now still Asher Lo Arasa. She's not engaged. So the Gemara says, still, Mistavra, ha ishtane gufa, v'ha lo ishtane gufa. One individual, her body has changed. One, her body did not change. So Rashi explains, Mistavra, arusa, yesh lo knas, ubula ein la. Makes sense that if she's engaged and then divorced, she should have a knas, as opposed to bula, should not have a knas. Why? Ha ishtane gufa, pagama, ein rav kolkach. The pagam,
the pagam of the goof is not that severe.
What's Rashi adding by that, though?
Huh?
Why is Rashi adding that in? Rashi said, before I get to Rashi, the Gemara is saying, by the Bula, since her body changed, there was a physical change to her, she's no longer Dam Basulim, so it makes sense that she's no longer considered in the Parsha. As opposed to a woman who's engaged and divorced, nothing has changed about her body. Maybe her status has changed, but she herself didn't change physically. To what Rashi adding in, Pagama ain't Rav Kokach, it's not just a Pagam, that would tell me why you would think it wouldn't change, no?
He's saying that the person who's Pogame in her the man who pogromed her, didn't do so much additional to her. In other words, he didn't do much more damage to her. Her body was already damaged, and therefore that's why.
But the onus mefata case, since she already is damaged, there's no additional damage coming from the onus of mefata. Okay, that's for sure.
Not that her status is in pogrom. It's the guy who actually.
Okay, very good. Genius, right? Okay.
Sit in front of this man every morning, rubs off of me.
Says the Gemara.
Can he rubs off of me too?
It's in the kashrus you've been asking.
Says the Gemara. Where are we now? Okay, a few lines down, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Hai Svar Munale. How does he know this Svara? Which Svara, she says? Ha Svara de Chamishim Kesef de Ones Shkalim Hein, the Kesef Yishkol de Mefata Yesh Chamishim. So, how do we know? We said in one case it says 50, but not which currency. The other one says shkalim, but no number. We've put them together. So Rabbi Kiva learned that out because he had the extra word, asher, or the extra term, asher larasa, to build the Gzer Sheva. Rabbi Yosef Glili, who learned asher larasa is being used to exclude a woman who's engaged and then divorced, he has no available words to be used for the Gzer Sheva. How does he know that 50 shkalim apply to both onis and mefate? So says the Gemara, again, minola nafkile, midetani, he learned from the following brisa, detanya. Kesev yishkol, Kimora habasulos, so he should take a kesef yishkol like the moar habasulos, like the ksuva of a basulos. She yehaze kimora habasulos umor basulos kaze, that the moar basulos of the ones should be like the moar basulos of mefate. Even though it doesn't say moar basulos, in both cases though, he only says moar basulos by kesef yishkol. See, Rashi says, "Kumar basulos minayin hamefurash minin hamefurash eitzel ones tani chamishim mor basulos yishkalim." Does it say mor basulos by both cases? Maybe it does.
What time is shachar, Sam?
5:02.
It doesn't say mor basulos by both, but it says mor basulos by the case of mifate. So what's the more of a basula? So we look to Nar Basula, the case of Ones, where it tells us 50, is it? If 50 is a number. So that's how we equate it. It's not quite a Gzer Shava, I'm not sure what drush is being used here, but that's the term that Rabbi Yosef Glili uses to learn out 50 shkalim in both cases. Then the Gemara says, Kasha de Rikiva de Rikiva. So we had a question above. Our Mishnah said that Rabbi Kiva in both scenarios, both presentations, holds that a woman who's Nisarsha, and then onus mefate, there is going to be a knas. There's going to be a penalty. But in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva says she keeps the penalty. And the Braisa, Rabbi Kiva says that the father keeps the penalty. So that's the kasha, the stira, within the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So Gemara says, kasha de Rabbi Kiva, de Rabbi Kiva, tre tanai liba de Rabbi Kiva. No, they're two different tanaim, two different talmidim, had understandings of Rabbi Kiva. They argue what Rabbi Kiva said, or maybe Rabbi Kiva retracted at one point. But two different versions of Rabbi Kiva, one in the Mishnah that the woman keeps it, one in the Braisa that the father keeps it. So Bishma, Rabbi Kiva, the Masnisin, I understand the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva's understanding of the Mishnah that the woman herself keeps it. Lo asya gzer shava umafkile lekra mipashe legamre. Because the gzer shava is not going to come up and buttress the understanding of the simple pshat of the pasuk. Why? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, lo asya gzer shava umafkile lekra mipashe legamre. De asa pashe lashmunin Ha'arusa la'atzma, v'chad mitivayu lafnuye, inami lo mufnei lekel mifrach mide. So what's he saying? So apparently the pashup shot of the pasuk is that she gets to keep it. That's what he thinks the pashup shot. So the gzer shava, what was the gzer shava we had? We had, I guess, of the brisa. It wasn't gzer shava, it wasn't really a kesef kedushin, kesef kna'as. I guess that's the idea. Why would you think from the Gezer Shav of Onis Mefata that the father should be getting it?
Yeah, you said it was because of Kesef Kedusha.
Yeah, but that's not Gezer Shav. And Rashi doesn't really explain more than that.
Gezer Shav told us 50 and Shkolim.
Yeah.
It didn't tell us.
does that, but the father's collecting it. Unless he doesn't mean Gzer Shava literally here. Mm-hmm. He's referring to that. Mm-hmm. He's referring. Does the article say anything on this? You know?
It says Rabbi Akiva expounds, quote, who is not betrothed. He uses that for the Gzer Shava rather than use it to exclude a previously betrothed Nara from the fine for violation.
Mm-hmm. But through that Gzer Shava, we never saw that you learn that the father collects the money. I'm not sure. There's no Rashi, there's no Tosos here. Let's see, my Sifta doesn't say anything about this either, I don't think. Very strange.
Well, it's a little bit long, but...
Oh, yeah? Okay, that's good. That means that it's not so simple. We're on the right path. The fact that we don't understand it is a good sign. Now, if we have time to understand that, it's another story. I'll look in the back quickly. If it's spoken out. There's nothing in the back either that comments on this. Okay, I guess we'll have to leave it as is. The way it says in the Masifta doesn't explain, it says the Gzer Shava between Onis and Mefata. What would have thought? You learn that the father collects it. Maybe because of onus, you collect it. So maybe onus. Maybe by onus, since the father collects it, maybe by fata. Also, the father collects it. I'm not sure. But the pashim shot is that the only situation where the father collects it is asher lo arasa, if she's not engaged. But if she was once engaged, the implication of the pasuk is that she keeps it for herself. And we're not going to allow the gzeir shava to uproot the simple understanding of the pasuk. Ella, however, when it comes to the Rebbe Kiva de Braisa that says that the father does continue to keep it. Asig Zer Shava Mafki Mipashi the Gamre. The Gzer Shava that tells us that the father keeps it, which I'm understanding to be right now, I'm more comfortable saying it's the Kes of Kedushin, Kes of Knas. That's going to uproot the simple understanding of the pasuk that she's supposed to keep it. Doesn't make any sense. So I'm a Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kari Bey Asher Lo Arusa. Well, say the pasuk, even the pasuk says Asher Lo Orsa, we're reading as Shelo Arusa. We're changing the Vav around and we're changing a little bit. What does that mean for us? Rashi says, Kari Bey Pipashte Ashelo Arusa Mute Aruso. Arusa. So how does that help us out also?
She's currently in Arusa.
It's a current that she never, not that she never was, but her current status. So I get maybe that's the point, right? We're looking at her current. Very good. That she's currently not. Nothing to do with her history. Her question is whether she is Arusa currently or not. So wait a second. Arusa Baskila. If she was an Arusa, the inverse would be that she's Chayv Skila if she was an Arusa. That can't be talking about that the Pashup Shah can't be that she's currently an Arusa. So I would have thought, hold the Chidish, who Shechidja Torah Beknas. I would have thought since. There's a knas, the knas itself is a chiddush Torah. Afagav the mikdel mishalim. Even though she would be killed, you would have to pay on top of that. In a chenamish, arusa would be baskila. But maybe there should be a payment as well that she would get to receive, or her yorshim would get to receive. Comes to tell us.
We're talking about a case of mefata here. We're talking about a case.
Case of mefata, yeah.
So you would think that even though. Getting killed for bullying bone with his outside relationship, he still has to pay knas.
Right, that's the half a minute to think. Okay, so then the Gemara says, so that's a half a minute to think. That's talking about a situation where she would collect the knas anyways. He says, no, in a chanami, you do pay. There is a penalty, even though she's being killed. So according to him, how do you understand the brisa? So Savalei Rabbi Kiva de Masis, in a chanami, he doesn't hold of the brisa. He holds of the Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah. Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanon, quotes from the brisa. Tanur Rabbanon, kantulimi, who gets the knas in a situation of where she was engaged? If she was never engaged, so certainly the father keeps it. But if she was engaged, and then divorced, and then there's a case of onus. Who gets the knas? Knas lemi lavia So this is the goof of the machlokas. Two opinions of Rabbi Kiva. First opinion says the father keeps it. Second opinion says she keeps it. Latzma, am I? Why does she get to keep it here? What's the shaila? So, Amar Chisa Hacha Benarishin Tzarsa Miskar Sheskin. Habmina, we didn't know who we're referring to. The Habmina was we're talking about Stam Knas, Stam Onus Mefate. So it's Pasha the father keeps it. So Gemara says, why would she ever keep it? No, the Bryce says Machlokas is in a situation where she was Nisarsa Miskarsha. But commifically, they're arguing that Machlokas, but Plugs with Rabbi Kiva, the Masis and Rabbi Kiva, the Bryce. That very Machlokas within Rabbi Kiva, whether she keeps it or whether he keeps it, that's the same Machlokas in the Bryce here. So Amar Bai says now, Ba Aleha Umesa Pater. Let's say he's bought her. Let's talk about a situation. Rashi says, doesn't tell us which situation, but let's say Onus Mefate. And she dies. He's pater from paying the knas shenemar v'nosan la viha nara. You pay to the father of the nara v'lo la viha meis, but not to the father of the deceased. And the Rashi just explains here, ba le umesa lo hispik ha'av l'hamido b'din ad shemesa. He's talking about where he didn't bring her to din until she died. But if they brought her to din, and before he paid, she died, then he would still have to pay the father. He's talking about shas amadis b'din, not shas tashlumen.
Because his onus is so much greater when he kills her. In this case, if we brought this before, we said that the reason he can't get off with knas, it's like he doesn't get that kapara.
Right. Yeah, we did say that before. Very good. Mm-hmm. That was Chaf Tesman Beis. It says it was quoted that long ago.
Seems like yesterday.
Yeah. So then the Gemara says, I don't understand this. Milsa the pshita leila abaye. Something that's so obvious and clear to Abaye, I mean, by the Rava. Rava had a shaila about this. Doesn't make any sense. The by Rava, yesh beger bekever, ain't beger bekever. Beger is a lashon of bagris, bogeris. Is there such a thing as maturity? Can they, you know, does a person life, do they age while they're dead? Seems like a very strange question, but he wanted to know that shaila. So yesh beger bekever, ain't beger bekever. Yesh beger bekever v'dibinahave. So let's say situation. Let's see, Rashi says v'chi. Let's go even further. Yesh beger bekever. Im mesa benarusa, aishlo amda bedin. So she died while she was a nara, and before she went to bezin. V'egiyas man bagrusa bekever. And then she turned 12. Her birthday was, but she was dead on her birthday. V'egiyas man bagrusa bekever. Mi chashiv beger o lo. Is she considered a 12-year-old or not? The Gemara is going to explain what the necessity for such a shaila is, but Yesh Beger Bekever, the Rashi continues to say, V'chihecha de'im lo hispika la'amod b'din ad shebagra t'nan l'kamam b'perek nara sh'nispach l'dehavi harei hein la'atma v'lo'lavia. Ha'shunami Beger Bekever mafki kocha'av b'na yoris lo im yesh lo ben. So the halachic application here is who gets to be yorisher. If she's under the age of 12, she's a katana or even nara, her father gets all the zichus shevach nereha, he gets to keep. But if she's a bulgaris, then her son's going to get to keep the yorushin. So that's the shaila again. Yesh beger bekever vid b'nohave, and the yorusha goes to her son. Oh, dilma ein beger bekever, there's no such thing as aging in the kever, in which case, davia have, we go based in shas misa, in which case she was a nara, and the father gets to keep everything. So the Gemara goes off on a side point for a second. It's probably worthwhile to stop because it goes into this, but the question becomes, is v'chi ma'abra, could such a katana become pregnant? And Gemara is going to go prove how a girl can become pregnant based on the sugars we've seen in Yivamos, but now is probably a good time.
She would have a son, is that the point?
Exactly. How could she have a son? I mean, if she died, if there's beggar and kever, means she had a child before she was the age of 11 and a half, or I guess before the age of 12, which means she became pregnant before that, which we know from many cases a woman cannot become pregnant when she's a katana. So that will pick up in Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow.
Shkoyach.
Okay, shkoyach to you.